You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Thursday, the 15th of April, 2021, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming live today at radioalbion.com because we have with us geopolitical analyst Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson from russjournal.org. Matt, good day, sir. How are you doing?
Well, you know, I work late into the night, sometimes when the sun comes up, so I just woke up. So if I'm a little off, that's the reason.
Well, I'm just very grateful that you're here. You do work very late in the evening. Sometimes it's 3-4 o'clock in the morning on your side of the Atlantic by the time I get these notes through. I know you do work very hard, and I know we do appreciate all this work that you put in, and we appreciate the podcast that you do with us here at Radio Albion. And today we're going to be looking at the latest in a series of terrorist attacks in Iran. And this particular one took place at Iran's Natanz nuclear facility. It was hit by a terrorist attack on Sunday, the country's nuclear chief said, hours after reports of an electrical accident and a day after new uranium enrichment centrifuges were started up. Iran reserves the right to take action against those behind the incident at the Islamic Republic's nuclear facility in Natanz. The head of the nation's atomic energy organization, Ali Akbar Salehi, told state TV on Sunday. He called the incident at the plant an act of nuclear terrorism. Iran condemns this heinous act, Salehi said, calling on the international community and the International Atomic Energy Agency in particular to deal with the act of nuclear terrorism. The incident at the plant was earlier described as an electricity problem at a power grid in Natanz. Fortunately, the incident did not cause any human injuries or pollution, Behrouz Kamalvandi, the spokesman for Iran's Atomic Energy Organization, said earlier on Sunday. A member of the Iranian Parliament's Energy Commission, Malak Shariati Niasar, also described the incident as very suspicious and said he had assumed it might potentially be sabotage and infiltration, since it took place around the National Day of Nuclear Technology. The event reportedly caused a blackout in the electricity distribution network of the Shahid Mustafa Ahmadi Roshan nuclear facility in Natanz. Further details have not been made public, and the causes of the incident are currently under investigation. This is extremely suspicious, and coming right after this day of atomic technology that they had, and also this came right after an announcement that they were starting up these new centrifuges. Iran was really proud of this, and suddenly they have this power cut and this blackout. What do you make of this, Matt?
Well, you know, we've dealt with this issue several times before, and I bring it up over and over again because this is the one situation where you have Israel talking about a war that they're going to start using U.S. Money, equipment, computer technology, and everything else. As I always say, Iran is a first world country. It's highly advanced in every respect. As always, the media, really out of ignorance, thanks to, you know, Johnson's Law, they could say whatever they please. Its economy really is only about 15% based on oil, if that much. These are, which is always, they always claim that these are completely dependent on oil, Russia and Iran, and that's far from the case. You can't get weapons grade uranium out of a civilian nuclear plant. Those are two completely different plants and two completely different methods. This has nothing to do with weapons, which is what the media is saying. This has to do with the diversification of fuel. This has to do with breaking the economy. This has to do with starving people out. So they'll talk the weapons nonsense to get people scared, but it has nothing to do with that. This is about breaking the economy. This is about turning them into a third world state so they're easier to manipulate. This has been going on everywhere. All the countries that the U.S. has tried to destroy in that part of the world have all been on the cusp of first world status. The only one who actually reached it is Iran. So these are all civilian plants. They haven't gotten all the information yet. Obviously, everyone knows that this is a Mossad operation. The Mossad has declared war on the nuclear grid. The Octopus Doctrine says that they're going to be doing so. There's no question about it. But the Iranians are being careful until they have all the information. Then they'll, of course, put out a full white paper on it. And you know, the Mossad will probably not even deny it. But the American media, not knowing anything, will simply just either just not cover it or say that this is all untrue and they're all just anti-Semites. We shouldn't listen to them.
Well, I did hear them saying before that what they were doing there was creating the materials needed for medicine, for radiotherapy. And I'm guessing that if there are sanctions on the country, then that's one of the things they can't get through is medicines. So do you know much about that at all, Matt, whether this was in use for medicines at all?
Well, I've done papers on this topic. Sanctions aren't supposed to even touch medicinal production. The American company is still functioning in Iran. There's about 50 of them. You know, sanctions are such a porous concept. A lot of them are in the medical field. You're not supposed to be able to touch it. But where the Israelis are concerned, the whole point of this is to kill as many Iranians as possible, Iranian civilians as possible, to get them to hate their government, which doesn't make any sense, and it's not happening here. So, again, you can't take weapons out of a civilian plant. You can't get weapons-grade uranium out of a civilian plant. It doesn't work that way. This is about medicinal, all the things. Nuclear power is used for everything, or can be used for everything. And Iran is at the cusp of it. Iran is highly advanced in this respect. There are all kinds of breakthroughs. So you're right to say that. It's exactly what this it partially is. The point is to kill Iranian civilians.
Well, Natanz is key to Iran's uranium enrichment program, which Tehran says is strictly peaceful. In early February, it said that hundreds of advanced centrifuges with a higher capacity for uranium enrichment were installed there. The events also took place just one day after Iranian President Hassan Rouhani announced that Iran has begun using new advanced IR-5 and IR-6 centrifuges to enrich uranium at the Natanz site. Israeli media reported that the incident was likely caused by a cyber attack, while the Times of Israel has openly claimed, citing Western intelligence sources, that Mossad was behind the power cut in Natanz. There have been no official statements from Israeli officials so far, however. Iran's nuclear program was significantly limited under the 2015 nuclear deal, also known as the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. It included caps on uranium purity and the amount that Iran is able to produce. And I think trying to recall back to that deal, part of the deal was that the uranium that they needed was going to actually be brought in from the outside so that they didn't actually have to purify it themselves for some reason. And so do you know much about that, Matt? And also, what are these new centrifuges? What is the big deal about this IR-5 and IR-6 centrifuge? Do you know?
Well, I don't want to get into the scientific part of it. That's not my area. People who know a lot about nuclear technology would you know, come down on me. It's like I come down on people who don't specialize in certain things. It sounds foolish. However, this is cutting-edge stuff. Russia had initially offered to do the nuclear work for them and then simply export it. That was when the deal was first being negotiated. Now, for the third time, I'm going to say that there is no way that you can get weapons-grade stuff out of a civilian plant. So this is only about bringing them back to the third world. But the problem is the Iranians are at the absolute cutting edge of this stuff. And to bring them even beyond first world status and this kind of stuff, this is scaring the crap out of the Israelis. And I love how they say there's no official word from Israel, as if that's going to matter, as if that's going to – they'll admit it or not admit it. What difference does it make whether there's – You know, you have so-called Western intelligence sources saying it is Mossad. But there was never any question about that to begin with. And it seems that this gives the Western media just enough to be able to say it might be Israel. Or what they're saying now is that the Iranians are blaming Israel, making them look paranoid. And what they'll probably say, what they're already saying slightly, is that this is about well, it's a third world country. They don't know what they're doing. So you're going to get this a lot. Oh, and sanctions are doing such a good job that they're breaking the electric grid in the country, and the Iranians are going to rise up against their government. That's the Western media, and just proves how Johnson's law is just absolutely ironclad.
So it really relies upon people not knowing the difference between military nuclear facilities and civilian nuclear facilities, and people just being frightened of the word nuclear, I guess. Well, a day after an incident at Iran's uranium enrichment facility, which was blamed on Israeli spies, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said his country will defend itself from Iranian aggression and terrorism. Without directly mentioning the incident in Iran, Netanyahu spared no words to admonish Tehran, calling it the biggest threat that Israel faces in the Middle East. Iran has never given up its quest for nuclear weapons and missiles to deliver them, and Iran consistently and outrageously calls for Israel's annihilation and works towards that goal, the Israeli leader said. I will never allow Iran to obtain the nuclear capability to carry out its genocidal goal of eliminating Israel, and Israel will continue to defend itself against Iran's aggression and terrorism. Netanyahu was speaking to the press alongside visiting US Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin, who assured his host of Washington's unwavering support in maintaining Israeli military supremacy in the Middle East. Both officials brought up Yom HaShoah, the Israeli Holocaust Remembrance Day that was observed earlier in April. I find this incredible, isn't it? There's an attack on Iran. There is aggression and terrorism against Iran. And straight away, Benjamin Netanyahu is there claiming that his country will defend itself from Iran's aggression and terrorism. I mean, it really is it's that old meme, isn't it, about crying out in pain while stabbing the other person in the back. And that is exactly what we're seeing going on here. What do you make of Netanyahu's words here, Matt?
These are days where I really sometimes wish I went into the funeral business like my father. You know, because when I hear this the double standard, triple standards, the ignorance, the make-believe, the ridiculous journalism. You know, I really wish that maybe I went into another field. It's almost impossible to explain this. What Netanyahu is saying doesn't even make sense. Israel is the one who has nuclear weapons. Israel is the one who wants to destroy any possible anti-Zionist movement in the area. Israel is the one who's doing everything in its power, not just to bring these countries to fourth world status, but to drag the U.S. in, which is the biggest problem in Zionism. You know, every group has a right to self-determination, but that's not what's happening here. The Zionist movement is about making sure that it controls American foreign policy, which means that everybody in the American military is in danger. I've been talking about this for decades now. Because of this kind of talk, it's Americans who are going to be killed far more than the Israelis. And what they'll do is if any kind of future provocation, one that kills a lot of Iranian civilians, they'll figure out a way to blame it on the U.S. rather than Israel, and then the U.S. will be implicated, and the war will start there. I don't think there's going to be a shooting war because the U.S. just doesn't have the capacity right now. But they'll be using methods like this kind of Cold War stuff, where they're deliberately targeting civilians and the medicinal infrastructure over there. And in fact, yeah, Holocaust Remembrance Day, that is not an accident. And it just shows you how ridiculous this meme really is.
What do you make of this accusation that Iran calls for Israel's annihilation? Because they always make it. They're always saying that Iran has called for Israel's annihilation. But I can't recall Iran ever making a statement, we call for the annihilation of Israel. I mean, what is that based on? Do you know?
This has come up 100 times. They say this in almost every speech. I don't speak any of the Persian dialects. So, and of course, that's part of the problem. No one's actually going to go searching for this and find it out. They're not that stupid as to make that kind of accusation in public or that demand in public. I'm sure, and this has come up 100 times, what the Iranians said, this was many years ago, concerns warfare, concerns victory in the battlefield. Everything the Iranians do is interpreted in Tel Aviv as wanting to slaughter as many Jews as possible for no reason. Yeah, of course, it was never said. It was never implied. But they'll take anything the Iranians say and claim that this is another Shoah.
I think the closest that they come to it is they say that the Zionist state is illegitimate. It's an illegitimate state. And I guess really they're talking about the legal standing that the country has with its borders that are continually moving. Yeah. But it's not a military threat.
The Israelis have no right to be there. The Americans have no right to be there. This whole thing is you know, you're putting these foreign people with nuclear weapons in the middle of the desert and wonder why everyone around you says you have no right to be there. That's what this comes down to. But what you just said, that the Zionist entity is illegitimate, that is interpreted as, well, you want to kill us all. It's that typical hysterical, histrionic reaction to things that the Israelis are known for.
And also this bit about military supremacy. America and Israel have to ensure that Israel has the military supremacy there. So I guess they interpret that as meaning, well, everybody else has got to have no weapons, basically. I guess they want to turn everywhere else around them in similar to Palestine. I think they would prefer that rather than, well, obviously they would prefer that rather than having countries like Syria and Iran approaching first world status, which you've talked about before, how Syria was approaching first world status before all these troubles started. Well, on Sunday, Iran reported a power outage incident at its uranium enrichment facility in Natanz, blaming it on Israel. Israeli and US media said its sources confirmed that it was the result of a clandestine operation carried out by the Israeli intelligence agency Mossad. An offensive cyber operation had caused an explosion at the plant's on-site power generation equipment, the media claimed. Iran did not offer details about the damage at Natanz. Iranian Foreign Minister Javad Zarif claimed the alleged act of sabotage was meant to undermine EU-mediated talks in Vienna, where the US and Iran are trying to find a way to salvage the 2015 nuclear agreement between Iran and major world powers. The deal was meant to prevent Iran from reaching a point from which it could rush towards producing a nuclear weapon. Tehran denied ever having a nuclear military program, but accepted restrictions on its nuclear industry in exchange for the lifting of international sanctions and other benefits. Israel vocally objected to the deal in the making, but failed to derail its ceiling under the Obama administration. Donald Trump sided with Israel on the issue and withdrew from the agreement known as the JCPOA in 2018 as part of his policy of pressuring Iran with crippling economic sanctions. Now, this was interesting because when this happened, when Donald Trump pulled out of the deal, if somebody is going to pull out of a deal, that means you don't have to keep your side of the bargain, do you? But it was expected that Iran was still going to keep up its side of the bargain, while America didn't have to keep up its side. And Iran did give it, I mean, we give it all credit, it did keep up its side of the bargain for another year, hoping that America was going to make good on the deal once again. But there's no reason why it needs to actually keep that deal. And it seems here that they're trying to work with the Biden administration on a new one. So what's happening there with the Biden administration on this deal, Matt?
Well, I'm glad you say Biden administration, because Joe Biden couldn't point to Iran on a map. This has nothing to do with him or anything he wants. The most dangerous aspect of this is that you have people behind the scenes putting Joe Biden up like Weekend at Bernie's and pretending that he's the one who's engaging in these policies with these people who we don't even know who they are. Mostly. But that's the case often. But now it's a blatant act of deceit. You're right. The Iranians have no reason to follow this. The Americans pull out of every treaty they've ever signed with people. I don't know if this is a way to deal with their loss of superpower, if they ever had superpower status, their impotence in the region, their loss, one loss after another. I mean, Israel's been driven out of Lebanon. Hezbollah is stronger than ever. They're a huge military presence. Syria won its war against the West, against almost the entire world. So this is a huge loss. And I think pulling out of these treaties, being completely erratic in their, you know, whatever they put their signature on, this is almost a way to deal with their loss of power and respect. You can't trust anything the Americans sign. These sanctions were never crippling, because technically the sanctions law only can deal with things that specifically deal with nuclear energy or even nuclear weapons, which of course is zero. There is an idea that Islamic countries generally dislike nuclear weapons, especially in Shiite Islam. There was a fatwa somewhere rejecting the idea of nuclear weapons because way too many innocent people could be killed. Off the top of my head, I can't remember where that was. So it may be simply that the Islamic scholarship has rejected the concept of nuclear weapons. That is strictly a secular Western idea. But they're right. There is not a shred of evidence that the Iranians ever wanted nuclear weapons. There's no point to it. But they may be forced on them. I mean, they have so many allies. The Iranians are trading, the U.S., Great Britain, those aren't trading partners of Iran. Iran's great trading partners like China and Russia, Kazakhstan, these places reject the sanctions anyway, as do the Germans. So sanctions have nothing to do with any of this. It's completely delusional to think that they have any power over the Iranians. This has nothing to do. COVID has a lot to do with it. The collapse of 2008 has a lot to do with it. The depression in the West has something to do with it. But sanctions aren't relevant to any of this.
I think the Islamic reasoning that you're referring to there is based upon not poisoning your enemy's wells. I think that is a verse from the Quran, and they expanded that to not having nuclear weapons because it would just destroy everything, the equivalent of poisoning your enemy's wells. Over the weekend, Iran marked National Nuclear Technology Day. The stars of the show were going to be new advanced centrifuges at the Natanz uranium enrichment plant. Unfortunately, the stars did not shine, and President Hassan Rouhani and his officials were left with a reminder of the previous time the centrifuges at Natanz crashed. In 2010, a joint US-Israeli operation against Iran's nuclear program is said to have destroyed a fifth of the Iranian centrifuges using the Stuxnet virus. A sequence of events have been viewed cumulatively as suggesting that this was no error of engineering so much as plain sabotage. Israel was again the central agent of perpetration, a not implausible accusation given its relentless efforts to curb Iran's nuclear ambitions. The latest came last November when Iran's chief nuclear scientist, Mohsin Fakhrizadeh, was slain by a gun operated by artificial intelligence. At this feat, Brigadier General Ali Fadavi was almost admiring in his description. The gun had focused only on Marcha Fakhrizadeh's face in a way that his wife, despite being only 25 centimetres away, was not shot. Itamar Eichner of Ynet was happy to indulge in questions regarding the latest incident at Natanz. Was the politically troubled Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu raising a toast with officials of Mossad, the IDF and the Shin Bet ahead of Independence Day auspicious? And why did US Defense Secretary Lloyd J. Austin III pay a visit to Israel on April the 11th, the day the attack took place? Defense analyst Ron Ben-Yishai, also of Ynet, suggested that it was reasonable to assume that the problem might not have been caused by an accident, but by deliberate sabotage intended to slow the nuclear race accelerated by the negotiations with the US on removing sanctions. Israeli and US officials have confirmed that Israel did play a role, though the speculation as to what actually happened at Natanz remains a feast of various courses. The Times of Israel provided some detail. A bomb had been planted in advance at the nuclear enrichment facility near the main electricity line, more than implying that Iran's nuclear program has been infiltrated and compromised. According to Channel 13 News, the device went off on Sunday at 4 in the morning, after which the facility was evacuated. The bomb crippled the entire facility, leading Channel 13 defense analyst Alon Ben-David to conclude that this was the worst attack that Iran's nuclear program has suffered at the most important Iranian nuclear facility. I think we may be a bit hasty to believe them that this was actually a bomb, because that would imply that they managed to get people in there. Originally, they were saying that this was the equivalent of a Stuxnet virus, and maybe a virus could have set off the equivalent of an explosion, which caused a power cut, and then perhaps they may be, you know, the Israelis are trying to imply that it was a bomb. So I don't think we can be too certain on that. What are your thoughts on that, Matt?
Well, some listeners may remember some time ago I did a lecture on Chernobyl, that the popular wisdom on what happened there is, as always, is completely false. There was no giant meltdown there. It has nothing to do with inferior technology or anything else. It was an attack on that plant. But the way that it was misrepresented in the Western media was that this is, you know, it says here that the centrifuge has just failed. Like they have no idea what they're doing. It's the same thing about Chernobyl, that the Soviets are so incompetent, they don't know what they're doing, and the thing just fell apart because it was so old. None of that was even true. And so what the Western media is going to do is are things like this, not really understanding the major issues and acting like this just failed, despite also in the same article saying that the Israelis have already admitted that this is part of their plan. And I guess the ideal situation for the Israelis would be to figure out a way to get that material to leak out and poison as many people as possible. What other reason would you have? And there have been explosions all over, nuclear plants all over Iran. They've shown pictures of it. And I can imagine what other purpose it would have other than to try to poison in almost the entire country and putting heart disease and cancer, everything that comes from this. So this is what they're capable of. And so that's really the issue here. And the West is going to say whatever the intelligence community tells them to say.
It's a very dangerous game that the Israelis are playing here. In the Middle East, tensions between Israel and Iran are escalating, but at the same time changing their focus. Recently, both countries have faced each other more frequently at sea, carrying out dangerous manoeuvres and reporting the occurrence of several attacks against vessels on both sides, with emphasis on the Israeli attacks, which become more powerful day after day. Apparently, what was previously a conflict focused on aerial bombing and intelligence and espionage operations is becoming a naval war, marked by constant displays of force. Last Tuesday, April 6th, an Iranian ship was attacked in the Red Sea with an Israeli mine in an unusual operation, totally atypical by the standards of the Iran-Israel conflict. The ship hit in the operation was called Shaviz, a commercial civilian vessel that did not pose any danger to maritime security in the region and was not spared from Israeli reprisals whose levels of aggressiveness rise quickly. The purpose of these operations is to implement a policy that Tel Aviv has been adopting in recent times with regards to its relations with Iran, to show strength whenever possible and to warn the enemy country that at any moment Israel can hit it. At sea, where violence has increased recently, this tends to generate more violence precisely against vessels with no offensive potential, such as commercial ships, as the objective is no longer to neutralize the enemy country, but to intimidate it in all ways possible. For years, the Israeli Navy's stance on Iran has been to maintain a systematic interception of all vessels transporting military material in support of Tehran-friendly organizations abroad, such as Hezbollah and other Shiite militias. However, the stance has become a little different since 2017, when Israel decided to adopt the policy called War Between Wars, a military tactic where low-intensity operations are carried out more frequently, the purpose of which is to issue constant warnings to enemy countries, which it is hoped will also respond with high frequency and low intensity operations, generating a mild and symbolic conflict. That is why the targets of the Israeli Navy are currently multiple, as the Tel Aviv plan is no longer to obtain effective military results, but to show Tehran how its vessels are not safe at any time. So what they're saying there is that Israel is actually at war with Iran. It's just not a really intense war at the moment, and they're actually calling it a war between wars. What do you make of this increasing of warfare amongst the navies here, Matt?
You have two doctrines, the war between wars and the octopus doctrine, which are very similar. Both of them are the very definition of terrorism. It's, you know, to set off bombs to attack these institutions with viruses. all kinds of civilian attacks. This is the very definition of it. You know, frequent, low intensity. That's what a terrorist operation will do. Now, as far as the sea is concerned, that's probably the one area where the U.S. does have an advantage over the Iranians. Now, we've talked about the condition of the American Navy, but navies are very expensive to maintain. And the U.S. does this. So forcing this issue on the water may be Israel's way of trying to provoke a war there so the U.S. can use its advantage in the naval area, which is certainly substantial, the only area where it's substantial. But we've talked about this before, where there are deliberate provocations from the U.S. and the Iranians respond, and I'm sorry, and then the U.S. gets all frightened. Oh my God, I can't believe they're attacking us. They do this all the time, and the Israelis are doing the exact same thing, and the American media will just report it as an Iranian attack. So, and they say it right here: it's not to neutralize the enemy country; it's to intimidate it. This is the very definition of terrorism.
It's incredible, isn't it? And they dare to call Iran the center of terrorism in the Middle East. It's quite obvious. It's Israel that is carrying out all these terrorist attacks. That was a civilian vessel that they attached the mine to. This is a nuclear power plant that they just succeeded in setting off explosions in. Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Matt, and explaining that. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with Grandpa Dan. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.